Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Good morning and good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I'm your host, Master Resilience Implement, TEDx speaker, business positioning strategist, and author, Sean Douglas. This show is currently heard in over 70 countries, so I want to thank you to those who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformation. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight the transformational moment that changed lives. We use this to then transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us live right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network Tuesday through Friday. Join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community, and you can talk to the guests that I bring on the show right there in that Facebook group. I ask that you subscribe to Life Transformation Radio wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, Play FM, Radio, Overcast, CastBox, the Himalaya app, and the Google Play Music app. Basically, wherever you listen to shows, Life Transformation Radio can be found. On the show, I bring entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, amazing people who are impacting the world around them. And my guest today does just that. If you have any questions for any of the guests during our live show, call us up at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Call us up and ask a question on the show. And with that, please help me welcome to the show my guest for today, Nathan Seward. Nathan, welcome to Life Transformation Radio.
Thanks, Sean. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am super pumped, man. Where are you calling in from?
I am battling the New York heat wave that is currently descending on the city.
Awesome.
Yeah,
very, very
fortunately,
cool.
I've got good AC in my apartment here, so I'm managing to survive. But thank you for your concern.
I love it. Where are you originally from?
I'm from New Zealand, which may mean that your audience will pick up about 28% of what I say during this interview, but I'm going to try and be nice and slow and clear with everything I say. There are a couple of words that feel free to get me to say again if you don't understand. But yeah, I'm from Christchurch in New Zealand, at the bottom world.
I love it. And it's their winter time right now, I guess.
It is, so trying to get sympathy for battling a heat wave in New York is pretty difficult for my family and friends at the moment who are sort of battling for a miserable New Zealand winter.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So the title of this episode is How to Turn Courage into Confidence with coach and podcaster Nate Seward. His self-discovery took him from pilot to coach and now teaches his clients to do the same. Nathan enjoyed a successful 16-year career as an airline pilot before becoming a personal coach and host of the Nathan Seward Show. He believes through the process of self-discovery and self-mastery, entrepreneurs can change the world whilst creating extraordinary lives for themselves and their families. He supports entrepreneurs to create game-changing businesses that help people and the planet in new and innovative ways. From being a successful entrepreneur in the food industry to leaving at the height of his piloting career to serve others, he's always lived at the edge of his comfort zone, taking on new and challenging things in service of being his best self and serving the world. Nathan Seward, SEAWARD, NathanSeward.com. In the show notes are his Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and a link to his show where new episodes come out every week. So while you're subscribed to Life Transformation Radio, go ahead and search the Nathan Seward Show and subscribe to his as well. Nathan, after reading that, man, I got to know, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Oh, look, you know, I think it sums it up there. I'm a huge fan of self-discovery and self-mastery. So I think the way we change the world is by mastering ourselves. So Gandhi said it best. He said, be the change you want to see in the world. And I think that's so true. I think it's so much time we spend looking at how can I change the world? What can I do? How can I impact a million people? And we gloss over the fact that by you deeply understanding yourself and going on your own journey of self-discovery to find your own, you know, whatever buzzword you want to use, purpose, mission, dharma, that is the way that you can impact the world the most is getting to know yourself. And so that's my why. That's what I do first and foremost. I say to everybody I work with, my number one commitment to you is that I live an extraordinary life.
Oh, I love it.
And that's my first commitment to you. If I'm not living an extraordinary life, how the hell am I going to inspire anybody else or support anybody else? So I'm a huge believer in self-discovery and self-mastery.
I love self-mastery. Absolutely love that. How do I know if I'm living an extraordinary life? You know, I've heard it said that, you know, live epic. Live like it's your last day. Live like there's no tomorrow. I mean, is there kind of a guideline? Like, what's the benchmark of living an extraordinary life?
Well, it's a really good point, and I think it's the first thing is to define what an ordinary life is. I think, you know, if you look at the masses, you know, a lot of people are not doing a job that they are particularly aligned to. They're not not to speak to your phrase, they're not in touch with a why, so they're just battling through, which you know, a lot of people have been there, where you have to pay the mortgage, you have to pay the bills, so you're just doing a job that you don't love. That would be sort of ordinary, what most people are doing. Not bad, not wrong, not you know, nothing to be ashamed of. It's just that's where a lot of people find themselves. In terms of love and connection, a lot of people are not don't have a lot of self-love, and they don't know how to, you know, deeply connect with people. They don't know how to be truthful, be authentic with people. So they're often in relationships that aren't that fulfilling. There's not a lot of adventure and excitement. I think in America, you know, the average is people get 2 weeks vacation time a year, and most people don't take them. So there's not a lot of adventure and excitement in the average person's life. And then finally, I think it's about inner peace and spirituality. Again, most people are not connected to something bigger or not connected to something deeper and don't have an experience of a deep sense of contentment and inner peace. So I think it's important to understand, you know, when I'm referencing extraordinary life, to understand where I'm coming from. So the bar is pretty low when it comes to creating an extraordinary life. It's about, you know, like you said, finding a why, finding a mission and possibly a business that pulls you forward, having deep love and connection in your life than you could ever imagine possible, having adventure and excitement, being excited for each day, and then again, feeling that deep sense of inner peace. So those are kind of the elements I use to define an extraordinary life.
I like it. I like that. That's a great qualitative, if you want to. Great way to qualify this is what this is. I think it's the wow moments too. If you say to yourself, you know, weekly, you know, wow, this was amazing. You know, you're taking trips, you're taking vacations. A lot of people want to take a vacation away from work. And when I retire in 2 years from, cause I'm currently serving in the military. When I retire in two years, I want to take some time to work between all of the vacations I'll be taking. Like, I want to flip it, right? I want to live an extraordinary life where I work in between all my vacations, not take vacations away from work. I want to work to get away from the vacations. That's to me is living that epic life where you have a lifestyle that you can just not blowing money, but like taking the time to go see the Grand Canyon for a couple of days, go to Bali, even go to New York City. You know, we've been to New York City a couple of times. Go to New York City and just hang out on the weekend and like tour the city and museums and, you know, different things. So it's making the most of the moments in your life.
So there's kind of a richness of life that you want to experience.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Somebody's like, man, just take a trip to Florida. And you could be like, oh, yeah, we were in Florida. Like, where'd you go? And then let's say they say Fort Lauderdale. Like, that's awesome. I was in Fort Lauderdale. Did you go here? Did you go here? Oh, wasn't that great? That's the conversations we need to be having. Like, not the ones where, man, I wish I could go to Florida. Oh, man, but work's got me going. Oh, no, I can't go to Florida. You know, I got this other thing. And then, oh, I wish I could go. Like, I don't ever want to say that. I wish I could do these things. I could just be like, let's go do these things.
So the beauty of what you're saying is that that's your process of self-discovery. So that's what you're being called to do. Like, you have a, and I think everybody has this, they have that idea of like, wow, if I had, if money wasn't an issue, money is our excuse for everything. So if money wasn't an issue, I would go and I would just travel and I'd go and have incredible experiences. And so that's the start of your process of self-discovery. When I first left flying, I wanted to be fully nomadic. I wanted to be minimalist and nomadic before it was cool, before there was a Netflix documentary about minimalism.
Right.
So I kind of sold everything and I just thought, man, imagine if I just had a business where I get to serve people, an income, and then just travel the world and didn't have to be anywhere. Because one of the curious things about being an international pilot is you get these little taster sessions of, you know, locations that you go to. You've been to Bangkok and then, you know, you see everything in 24 hours before you leave again. So I always had this dream of, man, what if I could go to Bangkok and I didn't have a schedule? I didn't have a return flight. So I did that for 2 years. I spent 2 years just traveling the world, lived in Argentina, Costa Rica, Berlin, Namibia, South Africa, Iceland, and just kind of, that's exactly what you said. That's what I was in, that feeling of, man, I want to try this. What if I could give this a go? And I did it, you know, and it was all part of me kind of trying to figure out what is an extraordinary life? What's my extraordinary life? You know, what could I try? What feels impossible? And just kind of going after it.
Right. Yeah, I love that, man. That's a great way to live. Would you say that would be a transformational moment for you, was that decision? The whole premise of the show is life transformation, going from one way to another. And I know that you've been through a couple transformational moments. So talk about one transformational moment that sticks out to you, that really was a catalyst, that really put you on the path to what you're doing today.
So leaving my flying career was undoubtedly the biggest decision of my life. Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Because I was giving up most people's dream job in the hope of finding something better. It was kind of I didn't hate my job. I didn't have a terrible job. So there was no crying for me. It was an extraordinary career and one I dreamed of doing since I was 8 years old. And then there became a moment where, you sort of mentioned in your intro, I had a restaurant with my brother when I was 23. So I had there was a bug, an entrepreneurial bug that was always there that wasn't being fulfilled in flying. So I loved flying. It was, you know, you can imagine, like, it's a really fun job. And then there's this entrepreneurial bug that was always there. And so as I got into my 30s, I thought, you know, maybe if I change airlines, maybe if I move overseas. So I moved to Tokyo, flew for the biggest airline in Japan, flew all over Asia. And I was like, wow, this is one of the coolest jobs in the world, and I'm still not satisfied. There's still something that's missing, which I think a lot of people listening will resonate with. And so you said it in the title of the episode, it's about, you know, turning courage into confidence. A lot of people in that moment think, well, if I just had the confidence to start a business, if I just had the confidence to leave my job, then I would do it. And what I would say is it's not about confidence, it's all about courage. Replace the word confidence with courage, because confidence is an outcome. Once you've started the business and it's successful, hey, then you'll feel confident. But you don't need confidence. You need a ton of courage. And so there was that moment where I knew I wanted to do something else. Flying, I tried everything in flying. I'd achieved everything I wanted to. And there was a moment where I knew that in order to be fulfilled, to achieve the vision I wanted to achieve, I was going to have to make the decision to leave flying. It was about a 7-month process.
How long was that?
That was, I left, what's the date today? 17th. So my last flight was the 19th of July, 2017. So 2 years ago and two days.
2 years. Very, very cool, man. So let's talk about that courage. How hard is it, really, to leave a job like that? Because I'm getting ready to leave the military, and it's like, I've had 20 years guaranteed pay, guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. But I've also built 4 businesses. I'm on my 4th, and 2 of them went to 6 figures. My first 2, the last 2 are kind of brand new. So, but you know, almost there.
Awesome.
Now, how hard is? Oh, thank you. How hard is to get up the courage to make these big life decisions? You know what I mean? I guess a better question would be, you know, what holds people back from having the courage to make these life-changing decisions?
This is not a plug, but the free download on my website is the 10 reasons why you won't leave your job to start a business. And
perfect.
I put the answer to each one, but I'll give you a couple. So the big ones are...
Sure. It's like I teed that up nicely.
Yeah, it's almost like you knew. But we are not in cahoots around this. We're not in cahoots around this. So, you know, the obvious ones are, you know, what if I try and I fail? So what if I leave my job, and what if I go out there and if I try this thing and I fail? I could run out of money. It's going to be super embarrassing, and I'm going to have to drag myself back to my boss with my tail between my legs and beg for my job back. So that's a big one. The solution to that is understanding that there really is no such thing as failure. If you've got a dream to, I don't care what it is, if it's to create incredible art, if it's to start a podcast, if it's to start your own business, you only fail when you give up on that dream. There's nothing certain about business. You know this, Sean, right? Like it's super ambiguous. You got to throw a ton of stuff at the wall. Nothing is guaranteed. Where you got a customer yesterday, there'll be none there tomorrow. So that's the nature of the game. We just get constant feedback and constant outcomes, and then we react to those and we shift our business accordingly. So there is no such thing as failure. So get that out of your mind. If you run out of money, which I did 18 months ago, and you have to go back to your job to make money, that's courageous. That's what you have to do. You're doing what you have to do to survive, to put food on the table, to pay your rent or your mortgage, to then carry on the dream. The dream only ends when you give up on the dream. Going back to your job to make a little bit of money, to, you know, have another year or so to get back in a good position, that's not failing. That's just doing the same thing. So get the idea of failure out of your head straight away. So that's the first one. Should I go through some?
Yeah. One thing I want to say is to celebrate failure. A lot of learning failure. And I'll take it a step further. Yes, people are afraid of failure. I know people who are afraid of success. What if I do build this big, ginormous business? Like, I gotta run this thing now. Like, it's fun to dream about the $500 million lottery until you actually win it. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
and you have to
like
manage $500 million.
100%. My dream was to speak on the TEDx stage. My all-time dream was to do this. I applied. I'm like, man, it's like never going to happen. Like, oh, come on. I kept applying. Like, what was it? Like 9 times in 1 year. Applied. And I had applied 4 or 5 before that in the previous year. I got it. It happened. I was accepted. I was like, oh, no. Like, my first thought was like, oh, God. Like, I got like physically like nervous, like stomach. Sick. Oh my god, it's gonna happen. Oh my god. And then I was like, now I gotta deliver. Like, it's fun to be on the journey of that self-discovery and that self-mastery until you gotta deliver sometime, you know, that it's like, oh no. And people are afraid of success too. Like, what if it happens for me? What if it actually goes as planned and then I become this, you know, person, whatever. Some people don't like there.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. It's so true. I feel that all the time. That it's a great place to kind of understand fear and what fear is and what the mind tries to tell you. So it's important to understand that the mind is using all of your past history to build a picture of the future to try and keep you safe. That's what your mind is trying to do. And so your mind can only see what it stands to lose. It can't comprehend the, infinite possibilities of magic and creation that can come into your life when you create the space for it. It can't conceive of that. It doesn't have a reference point for that. All it has is all your experiences so far, and it says, okay, if you leave your job, then you're gonna might run out of money. What about all your friends? All your friends, in the military, are you going to keep in touch with them, or are you going to go your separate ways? What if you end up having no friends? What if it takes off and it's too big that you can handle, and then we lose our lifestyle? it's always looking at what we can stand to lose. So when you feel that way, we say what if all the time, right? We go, what if it fails? What if? So I often say to people, well, how about what if positive? What if you get on the TED stage and you deliver the performance of a lifetime and you reach a ton of people and somebody comes up to you a month later and says, hey, Sean, you don't know me, but I was at that TED talk that you gave. And I was on the verge of suicide. And what you said in that talk saved my life.
What if you
have that moment, right? Like, so you have to take control of the what if positive. Your mind's not going to do that for you. And go, man, what if I do that and it leads to this opportunity? What if I do that and the love of my life happens to watch the TED talk and introduces himself or herself at the end of the show and, we get married? And there's infinite amount of positive opportunities that could come.
Yeah, 100%. One of the rules I live by is becoming a master of meaning. You are the only person that can give meaning to the things that happen in life. 100%. There's nobody else that can say, well, that's what this situation means. And, we always ask. We always ask, our parents. We always ask friends and families and, whatever. But we always ask, well, why would they do that to me? Or why did this happen? We always want to ask why. Because we always want the answers. We always want the answer to why things didn't go as planned. Or why this person stabbed in the back or whatever. You are the only person that can give that meaning to that situation. Would you say that courage, how you turn that confidence into courage and vice versa, would you say that meaning that you give that situation, was that play a role?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. Yeah, because I think that the idea of wanting to be confident before you, approach somebody, if you want to ask somebody out a date or, start a bit, the idea of waiting to be confident is, it's flawed logic. And so the meaning I give it is that I'm always going to be uncomfortable because I'm always going to stretch myself. I'm always going to push myself. And when I get comfortable, I'm going to find other ways to get uncomfortable. So understanding that it's courage is understanding that I need to become comfortable being uncomfortable. The discomfort's never going to go away, especially in business. So that's how I look at it. I go, okay, I'm going to be uncomfortable all the time. So it's not going to be confidence that comes. It's just going to take a ton of courage every time I want to take the next step.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Let's talk about your show. Why'd you start it? What's it about? Where can people listen to the show? All good stuff.
Yeah, so the show started 2.5 years ago as I was getting into coaching and personal development and trying to understand how I could have the biggest impact. One of the statistics that troubled me, let me go back. One of my coaches said to me, what's the mission that brings you to tears? So if you're looking for a mission or you're looking for your purpose, what is the mission that would bring you to tears? And for me, it was around suicide. And in New Zealand, we have one of the highest suicide rates in the Western world, which is quite shocking to a lot of people. It's a beautiful country. It's a very wealthy country, friendly people. And we kill each other or we kill ourselves at rates higher than most other countries.
Right.
And we now have the highest teen suicide rate in the Western world. So, I mean, God, that just rips my heart out. I just can't think of anything. You know, it's one thing for us to be out here living a great life and talking about extraordinary life, but some people are finding life so intolerable that, you know, they want to end it. That breaks my heart, especially children. So I wanted to get to the bottom of that. I didn't want that to be the story that I read in the news every year when the statistics came out that my country was at the top of that horrendous list. It's not the idea of winning that I was, you know, interested in. So I thought, man, I just want to get to the bottom of this. I started the show with the mission of ending male suicide in New Zealand. Men are, you know, 78% of suicide in New Zealand was men, so it's overly represented. Yeah. And so I just wanted to talk to other men. I wanted to talk to coaches. I wanted to talk to therapists. I wanted to talk to motivational speakers. We are the rugby champions of the world, so I wanted to talk to rugby players, understand what the culture was like in sport. And so I just did that. For the first 2 years, I just every week would interview somebody and just go really deep, with, you know, man to man, and tried to kind of model what a vulnerable, open conversation with two men could look like. And that was really the intention. I kind of got to a point where I was like, okay, I think I've talked about dark stuff enough. What's the flip side of the coin? And the flip side was this extraordinary life concept. On one side of the coin, people committing suicide. On the other side, you know, people living extraordinary life. So about a year ago, I flipped around and I thought, okay, now I want to focus on how do you create an extraordinary life yourself? How can people, you know, all the things we've already talked about. Who are the people that are living extraordinary lives, weird, different, exciting lives, and how can I showcase them and get all the juice out of their lives?
I love that. I love how you eloquently put that. It's like, she squeezed the juice out of their life.
Yeah, I want to get there and just squeeze every last drop out of them while I've got them on the show.
And I love it. I love it. And I'm assuming it's available on all the podcatchers.
It is. It's everywhere.
Yeah,
I started recording it as a Facebook Live, so I'm really enjoying that challenge. So you know, people can tune in, they can ask questions throughout the show, and so they can feel like they're interacting with the guests as we talk to them. So it's been really fun. So we record it around 3 p.m. Eastern every Monday on Facebook if you want to join in.
Oh, awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So where do you see the show going? Is there kind of a premise to it? Like, because a lot of times I talk to people all the time and they start their show like, oh, I think it's the cool thing to do. Because that's what everybody's interested in. Like, are you using the podcast to center around your coaching business, monetizing, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah, good question. I think somebody said to me when I first started out, it was Leo Barbato of Zen Habits, one of the biggest blogs in the world at the time. And he said, if you're not willing to do this at least once a week for the next 3 to 5 years, don't bother starting.
Right, yeah.
I think so many people need to hear that advice and take it on. It's not meant to scare you. It's meant to say, hey, this is a long road and you need to make a commitment to it. So I'm 2.5 years in, and so I feel like I've kind of earned my stars a little bit with podcasting. And yeah, from here, where I'm at now, I'm really trying to focus on how can I make the biggest impact on the world. Like, I have a finite amount of time each day, so how do I deploy my time in a way that has the biggest impact? And so just in this moment that you catch me, I'm in just a really creative phase of trying to understand who are the people that I need to be talking to that are actually having an impact on the world, that have this, you know, that's where their minds are pointing. They're trying to find ways that they can have an impact. And how can I connect with them? And how can I support them? So that's kind of where I see the podcast going now, is talking to people that are having a big impact on the world, and just, using it to generate relationships. I love meeting people through the podcast, and that's a big thing, is having relationships with these incredible people that I get to interview every week. And really trying to keep it entertaining. I think one thing I've learned about, you know, talking about a lot of deep subjects is it can be a little bit exhausting for an audience to listen to really deep stuff every week. So I'm currently sort of trying to think, how can I make this, you know, really entertaining and sort of keep the mission and the message at the heart of the show, but also, you know, make it so that it's fun and enjoyable to listen to, so it's actually entertaining as well. So that's where my head's at the moment.
I like it.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, man. You know, we tackle some hard topics on here. I've had sexual assault victims, rape victims, suicide attempts, some deep conversations, man, some deep hurt,
yeah,
too. One of the people that I had on the show, she had escaped her domestic assault, and her husband was abusive. Her and her daughter was fleeing for like 11 hours, like on foot.
Wow.
But like, couldn't get a hold of anybody, like had to get out of the house. He was on a rampage, and she took and then wrote a book about it, talking about 11 hours to freedom or whatever. And she had just ran, you know, and tried to just go where she could go, you know, middle of the night, you know, nobody's awake. I was like, holy crap. So, you know, I get it, you know, audiences are like I'm emotionally invested. Now I'm emotionally exhausted. So there are times that I have some lighter topics on the show, but you know, it's all about transformation. So I had to be aware of that because I'd gotten that feedback. Man, it goes so deep. It's like, you know, I'm exhausted now, you know, but
it
definitely
be
being aware of the audience. Yeah.
It can be a little bit like, sure, if you haven't, especially if the person is still going through that stuff. It's okay. Yeah. It sounds like in her case, she'd written a book and was probably in a place where she could reflect and see, you know, some of the good things that come out of that horrendous experience. But it's interesting, isn't it? So we all start out with these intentions of wanting to help people, right? Whether you go into a business or whether you start a podcast, you kind of want to help people in some way. And sometimes it's not that obvious the way to do that, you know. I find that really interesting.
Yep.
The way you have to connect and entertain as well.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree. And just hit over 200, I think over 253 now, 253 episodes of this show.
Huge.
You know, thank you. And it's been incredible. I've met some amazing people. I've had some amazing guests. You know, so you're always learning, and also you're always having that courage to do one more show, to get one more topic. What's the one thing I can give my audience? You know, the listeners listening right now, you know, that's who I'm creating the show for. But it's super cool that we can have these conversations. You know, you're originally from New Zealand, moved to New York. Now you're here. We can have these conversations no matter where we are in the world, and still, no matter where we are in the world, be relevant to everybody who's listening. If it's one thing that I learned, it's that nobody has had their own situation that nobody else has ever gone through. You know, like, there's nothing in the 250 plus episodes that I've heard that I haven't heard at least once in my life. You know, and it's just a testament that somebody listening to this show right now is going to need the courage for something. Don't know what it is, but they're listening to this episode like, okay, how do I get that courage? You know, how do I leave my job, or how do I start a business, or how do I start a podcast, or do I really want to make this, what do I really want to get married? Think about how many life decisions people make every day.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, and so much, you know, the reason I'm so passionate about courage is because it so many people get stopped, you know, at that point, and stopped because the fear is so great. And I heard a story the other day about how it was Will Smith actually talking about skydiving and saying that when you've probably heard it, but I'll repeat it for everyone. You know, when you go to go skydiving, you're super excited. You're like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. And then the idea of, when you get to the airport and then you see the airplane, you're like, oh God, what did I sign up for? And then the fear starts to come and you think, man, is this the last, am I in the last hour of my life here? Is this where it ends? And then you get in the aeroplane, and as the aeroplane slowly circling up to altitude, the fear is getting to its maximum. Your palms are sweaty. You're trying to think, like, how can I get out of this? You know, can I pull out? Can I cancel an hour or two? And then the door opens, and it's windy, and it's loud, and then the guy sort of hangs your legs out the door, and you're sort of looking down at the earth below you, and at that point, the fear is at its absolute maximum. And he makes the point that at that point, you're still safe.
Yeah.
So your fear is at the maximum, and at that point, there is no danger. And the moment you jump out of the airplane, the fear's gone, because now there's nothing you can do about it. You're going. So all the fear evaporates and turns to excitement. And the irony is, that's when you're in the most danger. So this has been my experience over and over again. When I left my job, the day before I was, you know, about to leave my flying. And when you leave flying, you leave flying. There's no, you don't casually fly 767 once a week, you know, until you retire. It's like you were a pilot yesterday and today you aren't. It's over. And so it's a big, it's a big moment. And at that
there's a lot of certifications that go in, right? I mean, is that why? There's a lot of certifications that get to put that stuff, right?
Totally, yeah. And just for an airline, it's just not profitable having a guy, you know, working part-time generally. So, and that day before I left, it was like the fear was at its maximum. Like, oh, my friends, God, have I made enough money? Is this the worst decision? Nobody really leaves flying. Like, what am I missing here? And then the day after, I woke up, and there was a sense of calm, freedom, a huge weight lifted off my shoulder, and all the fear evaporated. It was the most incredible experience. Something I'd been panicking about for months suddenly was all gone. So I want to really instill that with people, that the courage, or that the fear is only at its maximum before you make the decision.
I want my wife to go skydiving, but she refused to.
Oh,
and
really?
I have on my desk sits something that I firmly believe in. And it says, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the number of memories and moments that we make.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is like the ultimate, like, I love roller coasters. I love, you know, like I drove a race car once, like an actual like stock car, like NASCAR, like that was amazing. Got to do a couple laps. Like, that was super cool. And I used to race and drag, like, I don't know. I love that stuff. I want her to go because she's the opposite. Feet on the ground, head in the clouds, very like strategic, has to weigh the pros and cons. And I'm like, throw your inhibition to the wind. Like, just make a decision, you know. But nope, be calculated, be on point. It has to be like planned, you know. It has to be tactical. It has to be like, nope, because and automatically negative. I'm like, just do it. Live your life by saying yes. I live my life by saying yes and figuring it out. That's how I live my life. And I believe that that's where my confidence and courage comes from, is I've just made conscious decision and primed myself to say yes, whatever it is. Do you want to go skydiving? Yes. Do you want to do this thing? Yes. Start a podcast? Yes. Build this one business? Yes. So I need my wife to say the same thing, but she won't.
Like, do you have anything that scares you now?
Do I have any? Say it again.
Do you have any fears or anything that really, you know, that you're still afraid to try?
Nope.
Wow.
None. I used to. But a couple of years ago in 2016, I said, I'm forever going to live my life by saying yes.
Mm.
And whatever happens. Now, it's not that you actually, let's say that somebody says, do you want to go skydiving? I'm like, yeah. Let's do it. Like, what do I got to do? Oh, we're going to take you to 30,000 feet. We're going to drop you out of an airplane, and it costs $15,000. I'd be like, no. Hell no. So the yes part is you. Like, if I was Nathan, how would you like to go on a scuba diving expedition? Like, that sounds amazing. Awesome. It's going to be in a shark reef, around the most dangerous sharks in the world. You're like, whoa, hell no, no. So it's the yes, then figure it out. And that is when you can say no. Most people want to go skydiving. Oh, no, 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 I'm not going skydiving. No way. They automatically revert to no. That's their default. I'm afraid, hell no. Do you want to hold the spider? Hell no. No, get away from me. You could be like, yeah, like what kind of spider is it? Oh, it's one of the most friendly spiders in the world, and it's not even poisonous. It's just a big, huge, you know, whatever. but most people won't even get all the information before they even make a decision. They automatically go, skydiving, death.
Yeah. Right? 100% chance of death.
100% chance of death. So I live my life by saying yes, then figure it out, rather than saying no and not hearing the rest of the information. Because there's been situations where I've said no to, and come to find out, it was one of the most amazing experiences that people have ever had. And I said no. And I still kick myself. I had a chance to go to Austria. And I was like, oh, no, I don't need to go there. That dude's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome, and you need to go. You have to go. My family, everybody was like, you got to go. I'm like, nah, I'm all right. I'll just hang out. And then come to find out, it was one of the best trips that people have been on. Like, oh, damn it. And after that happened a couple times, and I made some bad business decisions and different things, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to say yes. For everything that ever happens, I'm just going to say yes. I'm going to get all the information and figure it out so that I'm open to it. Then I can say no.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing. It's like your default, if you rely on your mind, it's just going to go, well, what is the risk here? How do we protect ourselves? How do we stay safe? So you've built in this really cool mechanism to override that. You know, where you don't even think about it. You just say yes to everything straight away. It's very cool.
Yeah. So what I want you to do right now is shamelessly plug. This is the point of the show where we plug your brilliance. So tell the listeners, shamelessly plug your website, podcast, programs, products, services, whatever it is that you want the audience to know and to do, shamelessly plug, go.
I love that. I've never had the offer for a shameless plug. Well, you know, like I've kind of been talking about, I'm all about finding ways to impact the world. The thing that lights me up is making a difference and trying to impact the world in different ways, in new and unique ways. So, you know, I work with entrepreneurs a lot, not necessarily exclusively. I work with a lot of coaches, a lot of high performers, people that are just doing really cool, interesting things. And I like to really turbocharge them. So I had a client recently that came to me, and he works in the aviation industry, and he was doing all right, doing about $6,000 a month, you know, new business, and was going okay. And what I like to do with those guys is three things. I like to slow them down, because business mm-hmm. can be super overwhelming, and we can be so down in the weeds, and we're like doing everything ourselves, and it can be overwhelming. So the first thing I do is like I get in there and I slow them down and I pull them out of their business and create some space so they can get a nice high level view of everything. The second thing I do is try and come up with a mission that just lights them up. And this is my genius. That's the shameless plug. Like, I can help somebody find their incredible mission, the mission that brings them to tears, that they go, oh God, like this is what I want to dedicate the rest of my life to. And then the third thing is I'll help them find what is the unique thing that they do better than anybody else. So how do they need it to be deployed in their life and their business in a way that brings them the most joy, that gets them to use all of their genius and all their gifts in the best possible way, and that has it so that they're not really irritating to their team, but they're actually exactly where they need to be in their own business. And so this guy that I've been working with this aviation business, we found this incredible mission after there's a Malaysian Airlines plane that got shot down over the Ukraine.
And he found
that a lot of the airlines were flying around the Ukraine and a bunch were flying through it. And when he did some research, he found out that airlines don't talk to each other about safety critical information. It's sort of all, you know, everybody sort of just does their own thing. So he really went on a mission to change aviation safety and get people talking and bring some humanness back to aviation. And now he has this huge business. Thousands of airlines subscribe to him to get all their safety critical information about dangerous airspace, war zones, dangerous weather, and lights him up. Like he loves this business. And as a result, he's doing six figures a month, just 18 months
a month
together. Yeah.
A month.
So not only is it like incredible information that he's going after, it's made him an incredible amount of money. So that's important because then he can have an even bigger impact with that money. So that's what I love to do. I love to find people that are doing interesting things and then turbocharge it.
That, man, I'll tell you what. I firmly believe that if you solve an expensive problem, that you'll get expensive fees.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just another testament to that. You have to be solving specific and expensive problems, and then the high ticket fees will come.
Yeah, and just it all comes out of that mission. Honestly, this is one of my firm beliefs that when you're really connected to the mission that you want to go after, everything starts to fall into place. You can start filtering who you want to connect with. You can start being so much more ruthless with how you spend your time. You can start to see opportunities that before you weren't looking at, but now that you have this crystal clear mission and that's what I'm going to dedicate my life to and that's what I'm going to push all my time towards, now I can start finding those million, billion dollar problems that I'm qualified to solve.
I love it.
Yeah,
man, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Great energy, great valuable content that you delivered. What is the one takeaway that you want the audience to know before we close? What's the one thing that if they listen to nothing else is what you want them to know?
Oh, look, I'm a professional dreamer. You know, like all I know how to do is dream big and for myself, for my clients. So, I dream big, dream big. Like you have one life and life gets in the way. I find life really hard a lot of the time. I find it super, super challenging. I question myself, so I'm not here to put myself on a pedestal. But one thing I do really well and that I want everybody to take away is dream big. Dream big. Like get in touch with when you were 8 years old, what excited you. You know, for me it was flying airplanes. I did that. You know, I just went after it. Keep dreaming. We tend to lose our dreams as we get older and life gets in the way. But please, for the love of God, even if it takes a coach or somebody that supports you, get in touch with that big dream. Go after it. Please. The world needs you.
I love it. Dream a big dream and have the courage to follow it. My takeaway from this show. Dream a big dream and have the courage to follow it.
So you
love it. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been absolutely amazing. And, I wish you the best for the rest of 2019.
Thank you, Sean. It's a real privilege. I really appreciate you, letting me on here. And thanks to everybody that listens, spending the time with us. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Life Transformation Radio listeners, an amazing guest impacting the world around him. If anything that Nathan said today resonated with you, please go to his website, Nathan Seaward, SEAWARD, NathanSeaward.com. Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn is in the show notes. Connect with him on those platforms and start following him because he has amazing information to give. And the link to his show, The Nathan Seaward Show, is in the show notes. Connect there and subscribe to his show. And while you're there, subscribe to Life Transformation Radio. And with that, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you hold deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, live a great life.